This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking. And the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
Hello and welcome to the How to Hunt Turkey podcast. I'm your host, Jace Greer, and man, Missouri turkey season is officially closed, and it's over. And when I'm thinking about the fact that I've heard my last gobble for the year with a shotgun slung over my shoulder and hope in my heart and a beautiful sunrise in front of me, it brings some interesting and bittersweet feelings. Certainly more bitter than sweet to be done turkey hunting, but when you're blessed to turkey hunt as hard as I do, at a point, you're almost glad that turkey season is done because you've been getting up at ridiculously early hours. And you've been out there fighting the ticks, fighting the mosquitoes, fighting. And it's all right to let it go sometimes, and to be done with your turkey season, because if you don't leave it, you can never come back to it. And I think that some of my favorite things ever are first hunts of a season, and the anticipation, and the scouting, and all of that is just amazing. And when you've really hunted your season, and been able to get out there and hunt, I think that when it comes to the end of the season, you realize that you can just look to the future and be excited for it. So it's like the whole cycle resets. It's going to be a long time again till turkey season, but that's a lot of time to plan, a lot of time to reminisce, a lot of time to get better and think and come up with new things. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about this, that, and the other with my turkey season. And I hope to leave you with the main thought of don't cry because it's over, but smile because it happened. Because that's kind of how I feel about my turkey season. This is the first year I haven't killed a turkey in like 3 years, I think. It's also the first year that I've hunted public land. And man, I don't think I would change some things I did that maybe would lead to success. But if you told me like I could either stay in the same spot and hunt private land all season and kill a bird, or do what I did this year and not kill a bird, I would have chose to do what I did this year, because I got something more out of turkey season this year than just a filled tag. And I certainly didn't get a filled tag. This is what people who don't fill their tags say, right? Like, I'm sure some of you are sitting back there thinking like, sure, whatever. Of course I want to fill my tag, but I've learned this year that when it comes to investing in your own turkey hunting skill and getting to live some experiences, man, that is worth everything. So I'm gonna go into that a little bit. You know, do I have regrets from this season? Like, not hardly. Like, there's definitely some decisions that I did not make correctly, but that's just always going to happen. I think it's really easy as a hunter to look back and think, oh, if I would have done this or if I would have done that, then this would have worked. But you really don't know that for sure. And the fact of the matter is, not a single one of us is out there batting 1,000 every time you turkey hunt. There's going to be little mistakes you make, and you cannot eliminate all of them. You try to eliminate all of them that you can, and that's where you kind of get into this idea of getting better for next year, like at the end of this turkey season, making some resolutions, making some changes, making some differences. And I think that that's incredibly important. Like, for instance, my sort of number one thing that I wish I would have done differently this year is I wish I would have got closer to roost trees more quickly earlier in the season. I have this tendency that once I start hearing a gobble very good at all, I get nervous and I stop and I set up. And I might be 300 yards from a bird sometimes when I do this. And that, I've learned this year, is just a really bad idea unless you're setting up where you know they're going to wind up. And that's incredibly hard to know with turkeys. Like, you might have a situation where you know that, but I sure didn't. So like, getting closer is something that I'm going to be thinking about all year. I'm going to be thinking about scouting differently as well. Like, I did a lot of preseason turkey scouting this year, and what I learned is the way that I was scouting was not necessarily the most useful way to do it. Like, I was out there just tiptoeing around these places, moving really slow, listening, looking at sign. I think all of that is really good. I'm not saying that like that's not the right way to do it, but I am saying I could have probably saved a lot of time if instead of going to a new place and immediately diving off in, walking every square inch of it, I should have showed up at daylight and listened for gobbles. And then if I heard gobbles, dive in and scout a spot, because there's a couple spots I walked like 10 miles on that I'm pretty sure didn't have birds on them. And that was a huge waste of time. So that's another one of my resolutions. Another thing that I ended up doing this year that I'm going to keep doing is I lightened my load considerably as far as what I have in my turkey pack. And I kind of knew that that needed to happen. I've definitely been an overpacker for a long time with my turkey hunting, but there were several hunts I went on this year where it was just me and my shotgun. And I loved that. I absolutely loved going light like that. Now, we had a really warm turkey season, so layering was not really an issue. So I was able to be pretty free that way. So that was really awesome. So, you know, there were a lot of things that I learned this year that were just things I didn't quite learn well enough, quick enough, that I hope I'll have dialed in next year. And it's good to do this sometimes, to sit there and kind of grade yourself on what you did good at and what you did bad at and what you need to work on. I think that's really important. Some things I did great. I think that I never let an amount of distance stop me from going after a bird. I never let needing to walk somewhere be a problem. Climb a hill, I'd climb a hill. If you needed to go down, I went down. If you needed to wrap around and go twice as far as going over the ridge, I did that. Like, I put in the steps for sure. Another thing that I didn't do that I'm really glad that I didn't do was I did not spend a bunch of time hunting birds that would let you hear them and let you see them, but are impossible to kill. I just did not do a lot of field edge bird hunting. Now, field edge bird hunting can work incredibly. There's a time and a place and there's a way to do it. Field edge bird hunting on public land is very different, I've learned this year. So, you know, I hunted a spot a couple times. I'll talk more about this here in a minute, but when it kind of dried up, I moved on, and I pretty much did that all turkey season, and I'm really glad I did it like that, because I got to hunt my own hunt. What I wanted more than anything out of this turkey season was to be on a lot of birds and to just be in the game and play the game with them, because, you know, when you really think about it, turkey hunting is about the experience, right? What experience do we want? Like, yes, we want to tag a bird, of course. That's like at the core of all of it. But, you know, pulling the trigger is a great and satisfying moment. But it's not always that the shooting is the most fun part. For me, it's playing the game. Playing the game is what it's all about. I think about it with fishing too. Like, when that fish bites and you set the hook, for the next however long happens that you're playing that fish, that is the most fun part of fishing. And I think that it's very similar with turkeys. When they're gobbling and you're calling and you're trying to sneak around on them and they're trying to sneak around on you, that's the best. And I got to do more of that this year than I've ever done, honestly, in all my turkey seasons combined. So that's why I say this has been my best turkey season ever, despite the fact that I didn't kill a bird. And I think that it's important to look at the things that went right just as much as we look at the things that went wrong, and to be objective about all of that. So I've talked about it on the podcast before. Opening day, I went hunting with some buddies of mine, and that was awesome. It was so fun. I learned a lot about turkey hunting that day. And we had success, and I really thought at that moment, I was like, man, nothing can stop us now. All four of us are going to tag out. This is going to be amazing. And so the next day, I think it was, a couple of my buddies came out and hunted with me at a spot that I had scouted, and I had seen turkeys on. We get in there. There's birds gobbling. There was another guy there. He went south. We went north. Plenty of room to roam. It was no big deal. Super polite guy. And where I made a mistake was I had spent so much time scouting this spot that I thought I understood where the turkeys were going to eventually wind up. And it turns out I was dead wrong about that. And so we did not set up close to the gobbling turkeys. We set up kind of far away from them, and our whole plan was to wait for them to filter down to us. But that never happened. They always stayed 3-ish hundred yards away, maybe 150 at one point, like one moved in closer. And what I should have been doing was getting myself as close to under that bird's tree as I possibly could have. You know, we had a later turkey season this year, so there was plenty of leaves on the trees. That's something to think about. Like, if you have a April 1st opener or something like that, and there's no leaves on the trees, that dramatically changes how close you can get to one on the roost. Where that bird's roosting will change how close you can get to them. But this year, you could get really close to birds, and it was not a problem because there was just so much leaves and just thick stuff that was covering your approach and covering your sound. And so, like, that was a mistake. So we sat there all day and had birds all around us. And eventually we got up and we tried to move in on some birds, but it was already too late. They were on the wrong side of the creek. All kinds of stuff like that. Just, it all came together and fell apart for us. So that was day two. So then I think it was on day three. I can't remember. No, I think day three, I decided to go bow fishing instead. And looking back, man, you only get so many mornings to turkey hunt. And I don't know, like, there's a part of me that understands that you need a break once in a while because you're not going to be thinking as clearly if you're running on zero sleep all the time. But looking back now, I'm like, man, take an extra nap if you have to and get out in the woods. Because every morning you get to hear gobbling birds is well worth it. Like this year, I think Missouri's turkey season was something like 3 weeks long this year. And even as much as I got to hunt, that's just not enough time to listen to gobbling birds. I think it's the coolest sound in the world. And I don't know. I kind of look back and I'm like, why did I do that? But the reason I did that was I needed to get out and bowfish. I needed to get out there and just have a little morale boost. And, you know, we had success on opening day. We were in the chips on the second day. And I thought, you know what? This is all just going to happen. So that was an interesting thing. So fourth day of season, I was able to get out and hunt again. And we heard a bird right off the roost. I was hunting with my buddies and I'm just running the camera. And we moved in on this bird and we got so close. I felt extremely uncomfortable. Like I could not believe how close we were getting in on this bird. And we set up and that bird hammered all the way in, never gave us a clear shot and was out of our life. I mean, it was just everything worked perfect except for the last 20 seconds of the encounter. It was one of the most, I mean, heart pounding, adrenaline thumping. I'm just on the camera. I'm not even shooting. I'm not even calling. I'm not doing anything except for pointing a video camera. And I was so hyped up, I almost died. And after it, my buddy Damien was like, dude, I've never met anybody who gets so worked up over turkeys like you. And I don't know. I didn't realize that I was like in a tier of my own with just getting absolutely wrecked by turkeys coming in. But I guess that's just how I am. So after that day, we went and tried to find another bird on a different piece. And it was just nothing going on. We ended up kind of splitting up. Me and Damien were walking back to the truck. And as we were walking, we hear a gobble just absolutely boom from down in this drainage, which is not really a drainage. It's like a little valley sort of situation. I don't really know what to call those. Write in. Tell me what to call these things. Anyways, this bird was hammering at just the sound of our walking. So we hit the dirt. We start calling. He starts responding. I'm literally laying on the ground because there was nowhere to hide. And Damien starts moving in on this bird and calling and trying to get this bird just to peek up over the ridge. And like this bird is maybe 150 yards. I mean, he's close and he's closing distance. And I'm like, this is going to happen. And I get all laid down and that sun starts hitting me. And I've been up several mornings in a row super early. And it was all I could do to stay awake. And I told myself, like, you've got to stay awake because if he shoots this bird, it's going to scare you to death if you're asleep when it happens. So I tried to stay awake, and we kept after that bird right until 1 o'clock. And in Missouri, at 1 o'clock, if you're on public land, you got to be done hunting. So 1 o'clock hit, and we stood up and went back to the truck. And we didn't get that bird. It was kind of crazy. So from there, we decided to kind of split up and try some different spots. I decided to take my buddy hunting with me. He'd never been turkey hunting before. I think I talked about it briefly, but we went to a spot that I had hunted by myself earlier in the season, which I think I forgot to talk about that. But basically, I went into this spot. There were three birds just absolutely hammering constantly. I set up, in hindsight now, too far away from them, but I was getting nervous. It was getting daylight. And then, you know, they didn't fly down for another 30 minutes. So I don't know. A lot of times I get to feeling like they're going to fly down, but they just don't fly down as early as I think they're going to a lot of times. Set up on these birds, I called. These birds just played like musical chairs with each other. It was crazy. Like, they were circling each other, going around. I heard some fighting purrs at one point. I think they got in a little tussle, and they just never came to me. And I thought for sure it was going to happen, but it just never did. And so they kind of drifted off. Some people showed up on the public that I was hunting at like 8:30, slamming doors, talking full volume, seeing that there was another car, but not caring. Like they just went and hunted wherever they were going to anyways. which I think is like a suspect move as far as safety goes. Like, you kind of should know where the other hunters are if you're going to hunt in there with them, especially because this piece wasn't huge, but whatever. I mean, it's public land. You do what you want on it. That's just the price you pay for getting to use it. So anyways, that pretty much shut all the birds up and killed their movement. So I got up and I looked around and I realized I had set up behind like just a thick, nasty wall that would have been nearly impossible to call turkeys to. And that's why I should have been a lot closer. I would have noticed that. I would have worked around it. The turkeys wouldn't have had to work around it. And I'm pretty sure I would have killed a bird that day had I not just messed up. And that's just kind of all there is to it on that hunt. I did a bunch of walking, I did the old midday setup. I thought I'm going to set up a couple decoys, do some calling, and be on a likely place and see if one's going to come in. They absolutely shut up. And that turned out to be a pretty good move. I was awoken from a nap by two turkeys walking in. The second they saw my decoys, they ran away. So I don't know. It might be time to bite the bullet and buy some good decoys, or maybe it's time to stop trying to use decoys on public land. I'm really torn on what to do. I either am going to double down on decoys or I'm going to fold on them. I just can't decide which yet. But that's a thing that was a recurring theme this year. I did have one hunt where birds kind of came in close to my decoys, but not close enough. And I had a couple scenarios where they spooked birds. So it's like, I don't know. I'm not sure that. I think the move is you either need to probably get good decoys or none at all if you're going to hunt public land. I think if you're hunting private land, it might not matter. And I think it also just depends on the disposition of the birds you're hunting. Like, what works on a Tuesday might not work on a Thursday, and what doesn't work on a Thursday might work great on a Friday. You just never know. So that was a pretty cool hunt. So anyways, after that, I didn't hunt there again until I took my buddy out there, and I was like, we're going to do it right this time. We're going to get to the right spot. We're going to get in on these birds. It's going to go great. The problem was, is a week had passed since my first hunt, a week of hunting pressure and a weekend of hunting pressure as well. I didn't hunt any during the weekend, because I was out doing work stuff. And, that's just kind of how my life works. I work on the weekends and not during the week usually. And so we got out there and we heard, well, actually, my buddy heard the only gobble that we heard that morning off the roost. And we just went in and set up in faith. We get all set up. I do a little bit of calling. And we hear a gobble like 200 yards away. And I'm like, this is great. Like, we're probably in the game with this bird. Now, it's after fly down. So this bird was just not responding to a lot. He's playing it pretty quiet. And he'd gobble again, and he was kind of drifting our way, but he was right on that line of public and private. We were well within the public land, by like, I don't know, 150 yards or something like that. And I wasn't going to go move any closer to it. I just thought, well, he'll come over here at some point. And sure enough, like 10 minutes later, we hear a gunshot on the private land, and we never heard that bird again. So that happened, and I decided it's time to go find a better spot. So my buddy couldn't hunt with me the next day. So I went out by myself, basically on a scouting mission. And I went somewhere I had never been. I'd never scouted. Saw a bunch of birds, heard some gobbling, found some really cool stuff. And I was like, this is great. So went back out the next day with my buddy. And we set up the decoys, and we did the whole field thing. And we had a gobbler come out, and then a hen came over and scooped him up. And I thought it was just going to be over and they were going to take off. But no, they stayed in the field for a long time. And I called and called and called to that gobbler, and he just would not come in. He just would not come in for any reason. Finally, when they were making their way out of the field, they changed directions and they went to come by us. And I was like, oh, here it is. And that bird never broke 60 yards. And my buddy I'm hunting with, his gun is like a 30-yard gun. And so it just didn't happen. And my gun is not a 60-yard gun either. It's 40 and less. That's what I'm doing in turkey hunting. You can do the TSS thing, and you can do the red dot scope thing. And, you know, if that's your game, whatever. It's just not mine. But, man, it's frustrating when something like that happens. Because when you get a bird from like 200 yards and he's finally at 60, you really feel like you've earned that and you ought to be able to shoot that turkey. But That's just not the way it always goes. So after that, I came back and hunted that spot again, and it was a classic. I'd set up on one side of the river, they'd be on the other. And there was no good way to get across this river. The water was way high, and it was like a 20-minute drive to get to the bridge to get across. And so there was no just like, oh, I'm on the wrong side, let me just zoom over there, because it would just take way too long. So I hunted that a couple times, and then I just got tired of it. I was like, I'm not going to keep hunting these impossible birds. And it was really funny, though, because about every time I hunted that spot, I would hear a gunshot somewhere. Like, somebody had it figured out there every time, and I didn't. I also had a scenario where I tried to loop around on this one bird because it sounded like it was on public land by this really steep drop off, and I thought, man, if I could get over there and find a way down that drop off, down to the field I think he's in, like, that bird probably isn't getting pressured at all. So I get around there, and it turns out that bird was actually on private land. So I'm doing some calling just to see if there's any other birds down on the public. And I was going to make my way down onto the public. And I somehow end up calling this bird in from private land, like 200 yards away across the fence, across the road. And he was in my lap so fast I spooked him. And I wasn't even far enough away from the road to like hunt him anyways, legally. So it was just like a crazy scenario where I couldn't call one in, and then I called one in way too fast. So that was kind of frustrating. So I then moved on and I tried a new spot entirely. Like, I got this harebrained idea to go try somewhere like totally different that I'd never scouted or hunted or anything. And I got out there, and there was this ridge that ran for like almost a mile, just straight down, and all of these finger ridges and drainages coming off of it. And I was like, this is going to be perfect. I'm going to get to this parking lot super early in the morning. I'm going to walk way down this road, and I'm going to hear a bird and call him in, and it's going to be incredible. So I'm driving out to this place, and right as I go to turn off on the last gravel road that I need to turn on, there's another vehicle just a little bit behind me, like coming from the other direction. So I turned onto this road, and then that vehicle turned onto this road as well. And it's like of a time in the morning and of a location where you're like, there's only one place this other car is going. And I'm thinking to myself, dang it, like, there's going to be other people on this place. What have I done? This was a terrible idea. The hunting pressure is going to be too much. Sure enough, I get to like the first parking lot, and there's already a truck in it, not to mention the one following me still and myself. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. Now, there's something like 5 parking spots that I had the ability to go to. So I was going to the very farthest one back because that just makes the most sense. And so part of me was thinking, man, am I going in too far for no reason? But anyways, I just went ahead and did it. And the truck behind me stopped at the second to last parking spot, I think because they knew I was going to go to the last parking spot, because a couple days later I saw that truck and he beat me to the spot that time. And so I just went somewhere else. But anyways, I got back in there. I walked like 500 yards down this ridge, and then I heard the first gobble of the morning. And it was like 300 yards behind me. And I thought, well, that was kind of ridiculous. I didn't need to walk all the way down here. So I made a big loop, totally changed my approach. There ended up being like 3 birds gobbling at various locations. I get up on a little hill and I set up, and I'm like feeling good about it. Like, this is probably going to happen. It's going to be a good deal. Well, as the morning progresses, I realize the bird behind me actually went to a different hilltop than the one I'm on, and he's not moving from that hilltop. Like, he would not budge. But the other 2 birds I was hearing were very mobile. They were moving all around. I'm hearing gobbles everywhere. I'm hearing hens everywhere. I had one of the most aggressive hens I've ever heard. Just an absolute like raspy 12-note yelp sequence, just like crazy nonstop. And I knew it wasn't a hunter. This hen was like moving around like crazy, just calling her head off. Had several hens come through, several birds moving around. And I just knew, like, hey, you hang out here and you're gonna probably get your chance. So birds keep gobbling. I keep calling. They keep gobbling. I keep calling. They move this way. They move that way. Still can't see them. And then finally, this one bird that had been the farthest away bird, and this happens to me all the time. The farthest away bird is the most keen to come in. It feels like sometimes those ones I get right up on, they just never want to come into my calls, but the farther away ones have no problem with it. So this one ends up making a complete loop all the way around the hill I'm set up on. And he does the classic Eastern thing, and he comes up from straight behind me. Like, I hear a gobble probably 80 yards straight behind me, and I know that he's coming. So I try to get ready. I'm all set up. Now, I have a left-handed shotgun. I shoot left-handed. I'm not left-handed, but my left eye is my dominant eye, so I try to shoot left-handed whenever I can. So I'm set up, looking straight forward at the hill. Behind me, the hill drops off. He comes up from directly behind me and comes up on my left side. So for a left-handed shooter, that is the hardest spot to shoot. And I look over and I see him, and he's strutting, and he's looking beautiful, guys. I mean, red, white, and blue head. His beard, curves with his body when he's strutting. Just a long beard on him and a full tail fan, just looking, I mean, beautiful, just beautiful. I'm almost starstruck. This bird's probably 20 yards from me when I first see him. He is right there. And so he keeps kind of walking. He sees my decoy, and I'm like, it's okay. I don't need to switch to my right hand and shoot him or anything like that. He's going to walk out in front of me in 20 seconds, and I'll shoot him then. And I can shoot right-handed. I shot right-handed for several years before I switched, so it's no big deal for me to switch shoot. And I watch this bird for a couple seconds, and all of a sudden he does the old wing tuck and he pops his head up. He didn't like something about my decoy. Maybe that it was a $10 decoy from Walmart and this is public land and I should have never set it up at all. I should have made him look for this bird because I had not been calling in a decent amount of time. So it wouldn't have been weird for him to have to look for that hen for a little while. And sure enough, he starts to freak out. So I switch right-handed and I pull up on him, and he's behind too much stuff and he's gone before I can even do anything about it. And I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe that I had one get me that close, and I just didn't get him. So in hindsight, if you're hunting public land and a bird's shown himself and you can swing and shoot him, you better freaking do it. And you probably should have your gun up. As soon as you think you know where he's going to come up, you should probably have your gun up and at that spot. And I knew all that, but it had been so long since I called one in, just because of how the season had been. I'd been in on it. I had been in on birds getting called in, but not really while I was set up and ready and on the gun. So anyways, that bird gets out of there, and I really wish that as soon as I saw it, I would have switched right-handed and slowly raised up as it walked behind a tree and then blasted him. And I totally could have and should have, but I didn't. But here's the thing, kids. There were two more birds gobbling, so I wasn't even that worried about it. I said to myself, well, let's go move on to another one of these birds. So the bird directly behind me on the hill, It had never moved, and I thought, you know what, if I dump off this hill that I'm on, I can get down in this valley and wrap around the hill that he's on and come up on the far side of it, cut half the distance to him, and then start calling, and I bet he'll come right in. So, had my genius plan in place. I did exactly that, did a big long loop around, took my time, listened to him gobbling the whole time, made sure I wasn't spooking him. And I get all set up, and I'm like, this time we'll do a Jake over a hen decoy, so he'll just run in and get blasted, and he won't have time to look at my hen and be like, that hen doesn't look quite right. So, great plan is hatched. I get all set up. I start calling to this gobbler. He starts responding, and he's pretty fired up, and I can tell it, especially now that I'm in his zone, and I'm like, this is great. This is going to be awesome. So I'm calling. This bird is to my left. And my decoys are set up to my right. And I don't know what route this bird's going to take, because you never know what route an Eastern is going to take. But I'm feeling pretty confident that kind of whatever route he chooses, I'm probably going to be able to get the drop on him. If nothing else, if he really gives me the slip and gets in on my decoys, hopefully he'll be so concerned about thrashing that Jake that I'll just shoot him. So the plan is hatched. I'm calling. He's responding. I'm calling, he's responding. I'm thinking like, all right, something's probably going to happen pretty soon. And then all of a sudden I hear a gobble to my right. Totally different bird than the one I thought I was calling. I look over to my right, and at 30 yards, there are standing four turkeys. And I think to myself, there's no way this is four longbeards. And so I start like looking, and sure enough, it's four Jakes. And I don't know how the one of them gobbled as good as he did, or maybe it's just because they were at 30 yards that it sounded good. But I see them, they see me. I didn't really have good cover from that direction. I didn't expect them to be there. They caught me looking, like everything went kind of wrong, but I don't really care because they're Jakes and I'm not planning on shooting one. So they start to kind of like move around like Jakes will. Like they're not really that scared. They're not running away. One of them stands there with his head up for way too long at 30 yards, and I'm like sorely tempted to shoot a Jake. And now, I don't think there's anything wrong if you want to shoot a Jake. I just personally am moving on from that, or trying to at least. I just wasn't ready to shoot a Jake on that day. We'll put it that way. I was really wanting to shoot a Tom, and I have, you know, two gobbling birds yet to go after. So anyways, those Jakes are there, and all of a sudden, straight behind me, I hear a thunderous gobble. And I realized that the bird that was off to my left is wrapping around behind me. Like, it was the craziest thing. It was like these birds preferred to walk down the hill and then use the side of the hill to get around and then go back up on the top. Like, they didn't just stay up on top of the hill. So that was really interesting to me. I'd never observed that kind of behavior, but I'd never really hunted woods that had turkeys in them before. So, you know, it's all new to me. So I hear this bird gobble. I turn and look. Here he comes, looking beautiful, strutted out, fanned out, long beard, going after these Jakes. And he starts to run these Jakes around in circles. And I can't get a shot, and he's too far, and he's behind too much stuff, and he's too close to the Jakes, and all of this stuff is going on. And I think to myself, there's no need to push this. There's no need to rush this. As soon as he sees that Jake over hen decoy, it's over for him. And so that bird keeps chasing those Jakes away. He finally chases them out of sight. And I'm like, man, I really thought he'd come into these decoys sooner. So I start giving him some soft yelps. He starts responding, and I'm like, all right, this will be fine. He'll come back to scoop up this hen, and that's when he'll see my Jake decoy. He'll freak out. I'll blast him. This is going to be great. Well, that bird never came back. He somehow never saw my decoy, which would have been the perfect decoy setup in that scenario when he's literally chasing after Jakes to have a Jake set up. And he just was not into it. He was like, no. And I don't know if by contrast, my decoys looked so terribly fake having live birds there. I don't know if he just didn't see it. I don't know if he didn't care. I don't know if maybe he caught a glimpse of me, but he wasn't so scared that he was going to let those Jakes be. I don't know what happened, but I just like, that's insane. So this is the second time I've had my safety off on my shotgun and not taken a shot. And I'm just like, man, I can't believe this. But there's still one more bird hammering. So I'm like, all right, we're just going to move on down a couple more hills and we're going to hunt that. So I move on down a couple more hills and I start calling. And not only does the other bird I've been hearing start responding, but the bird that chased off all those Jakes starts responding as well and cutting some distance. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm set up between two gobbling birds. Now, also, here's the craziest part. It's like 11:30 at this point. And I don't know how it is where you hunt, but in Missouri on public land, you don't hear a lot of gobbles at 11:30. But I've just got them to chase. It just happens to be the perfect day. So birds keep getting closer. They'll drift off. They get closer. They drift off. And I'm just playing the patience game, just waiting on them. And before long, the bird that chased off all those Jakes, he gobbles just beneath the crest of the hill that I'm on. I mean, like sub 100 yards, and I'm like, oh, it's about to happen. So, you know, get the gun up. I'm all ready for him to pop up over the hill. And he just never does. And he never gobbles again. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if some hen came in and scooped him up. I don't know if he saw something he didn't like. I don't know how he could have. I was well hidden and it was thick and like all of that. So I'm like, man, that's crazy. But the other bird is still in play. So I hit him again with some calls, and he's cut like half the distance to me. And I'm like, man, this is just a matter of time before he comes in. And sure enough, he never gobbled again. Like it, I played with those birds until like noon or maybe 12:30. Like I was still hearing gobbles, but eventually they just stopped altogether. And I just think about the game of baseball. I literally swung three times and I missed all three times and I struck out. But it's better to go down swinging than to go down looking. That's what I think. So that was without a doubt my craziest turkey hunt I've ever had. So obviously the next day I decided to hunt the same spot. And there was nobody there that day. But the birds were in a different spot completely. And I did not go after the first bird I heard. I wanted to go after one that was in a spot that I felt a little more confident in. And that was a huge mistake because all I ended up getting done there was I just followed these birds from 300 yards until they made it to private land. And there were like four of them. Like I got to the edge of public and I gave a big calling sequence. And I heard like a super distant gobble and I heard one half that far. And then I heard two more roughly the same distance. And there's just all four of those birds just like the outgoing tide just moved straight to this one corner. And it was crazy to me. I couldn't even believe it. So I'm trying to think where I hunted next. Oh yeah. So the next day I decided I'm going to go back to that spot where I called that gobbler in from private land. Except this time I'm going to get there early in the morning and I'm going to drop down into those fields and try to like call a bird. Because the thing is with these fields, the way it looked to me on the maps, there was no road access to them for like 5 miles. But if you went down this bluff, you could get to them, but you just couldn't drive to them. And I thought this will be perfect. So I get there. I make my way down. There's no birds gobbling. I'm getting just mosquitoes are going absolutely ham. Everything's flooded down in there. I'm having a hard time walking around. Finally get to the first field. Nothing. Not hearing any gobbles. Get to the second field. Nothing. Get to the third field. I start noticing boot tracks. And I think to myself, wow, somebody else is crazy enough to do this wild hike down and back just for some turkeys. Like, man. Honestly, it's frustrating when you see that. Like, these people are your kindred spirits, right? Like, nobody else in the world probably has as much in common with you as the people whose boot tracks you see on public land. But you're like, dang it. Why are these people here? And I get a little further down, and I hear a truck door slam. And I pull up my binoculars, and some dude has driven, like, all the way here. And it turns out there must be a road that people can drive on all the way up to these fields that I somehow didn't know about. Like, I saw that there was a road on the map, but I just assumed, like, on all other public land, that this road is probably closed to public use. But I guess that one wasn't. So these fields that I thought would be absolutely pristine were actually just completely hammered by people. And there were no birds in them. So I got out of there. That was kind of crazy. Went and tried couple other spots, but I never did quite put it together. But man, I'll tell you what, I got to be out there playing the game a bunch this year. I got to see so many turkeys. I got to hear more gobbles than I've ever heard. And I got to do one of my favorite things, which is just to explore new land. I found a chicken of the woods mushroom. I mean, I just had a lot of cool experiences. I got to hunt with friends. I got to share in some success on that first day. Absolutely wild that was the only success we had. I kind of can't even believe it. But you know what? I learned a lot. I was with friends and I had a great turkey season. I know I've said that like 80 times, but it really means something to me. So when I look back at this turkey season, I for sure am not crying because it's over, but I'm smiling because it happened. And I'm looking to the future and I'm trying to think, how do I get more of this? How do I do more of this? How do I get better? How do I learn? How do I scout? And I hope that's how you feel if you haven't punched a tag. If you have punched a tag, man, congratulations. You've done something that most people won't do and something that I didn't do this year. So props to all of you who found success. Keep your chin up to all of you who did not find success. But I think my definition of success is such that not filling a tag does not at all make me unsuccessful. If I went out there and didn't really hunt hard, didn't find anything else out, didn't learn anything, didn't have fun, that would be a failure. But I did all the things that I wanted to do. And I think this season was an amazing success. And I'm hoping that next year I get to do even more. And, you know, if my next turkey season went exactly like this one, I'd still be happy to be a part of it. So anyways, I'm just going to leave you guys on that note. That's kind of my turkey season in a nutshell. Pretty big nutshell. This is a long episode for a solo one, but I hope you guys have found something relatable. I hope you've learned something from this, or at least felt a little solidarity if you had the post-turkey season blues. And you know, I've got them and I'll have them for a while, but that's okay, because it's okay to love something so much that you're sad when you don't have it. But don't let it get you in depression for too long. Start planning for next year. Keep practicing those calls. Think about how good you are with your calls right now. Probably the best you'll be. Get better from here. Keep practicing them. Keep after it. And man, I hope you guys have a great rest of your year. I hope your deer hunts go well. I hope your fishing trips go well. And you know that weekly we're going to be right here talking about turkeys. We're entering the part of the year that I really love, which is the reminiscing part of the year, where I have people on just to talk about some turkey stories and give us a few lessons they've learned. It's not like this super dense, like, what now, what now, what now, what now. It's just like cool turkey hunting stories. So that's what we got on the slate for the rest of the year. I'm sure there'll always be a little bit of an instructional thing here and there, but as always, I try to teach it through the medium of actual hunts and actual things that happen so that there's a practical application for everything you learn on this podcast. So thank you guys so much for joining, for tuning in this spring, summer, however long you've been listening. I really appreciate you guys listening. If you can leave me a review and you would leave me a 5-star review, that would help me out a ton. Refer this podcast to friends. Specific episodes are extremely helpful. I know there's still some seasons going on out there. So refer this to a buddy or an enemy, whatever, doesn't really matter. You can follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You can email me howtohuntturkey@gmail.com. And anyways, keep up with me in those ways. And thank you guys so much for listening. And whatever it is you're doing, whatever hunts you're going on, take somebody hunting with you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.